is your birthday. You can sit at the birthday table and have chocolate cake with Dave and Jerry. So they have their birthdays on the exact same day. Twin sons of different mothers, right? Right here at the head table almost.
Sorry.
Where's the other person? Check from Captain Ross.
Well, I'm gonna have to re. God, I'm gonna. Twice I've done that. I gotta write that. I'd like to do that. No, I'll find that other $1,000 there. From Brian Quinn. Welcome, Rotarians, to Anchorage East Rotary's Wednesday afternoon luncheon. Please stand up. Today our pledge will be led by, put my glasses on, Cleo.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And R.C., would you please inspire us?
Yes, President Jeff. Today I bring a quote by Melody Beatty called "The Gifts of Gratitude." Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, and confusion into clarity. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace to today, and creates a vision for tomorrow.
Thank you, R.C. Everyone who has hope in their heart may sit down. That's pretty good. Oh, no hope over here, Will? Come on. Harold? Somebody give those guys a little hope over here. All right, I want to thank our greeters today, R.C. and Larry. Thank you very much. And now, Diana, would you introduce our visiting Rotarians and guests?
Okay, fellow Rotarians, please give a warm welcome to Jean Burden Reardon from Gateway Rotary Club, Classification Administration.
Hi, Jean.
And Chris Satse from Gateway Classification Nonprofit Finance.
Chris.
And Trig Erickson from International Classification Public Safety Communication.
Trig.
That's it.
Thank you, Diana. Who knows what month it is in the Rotarian themes? Bill? It's Rotary Magazine Month. Yeah, that's here for Rotary Magazine Month. He doesn't get anything. He's just on the ball. Good job. Let's do some things a little out of order. Let's sing Happy Birthday. I feel like singing Happy Birthday right now, and I'll even lead it. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Now, first I'm going to ask, is it really everyone's birthday at the table?
Yes, sir.
No.
Greg has a...
Oh, okay, so there's three squatters. Okay, share the cake. Ready? Diane?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, fellow Rotarians. Happy birthday to you.
And Bob Cox, is it your birthday?
No.
No, you're just sitting here too. Okay, never mind. Al, like the beard. Looks really good. How's the car running?
Great.
Oh, did you drive it here today? Nobody yet. Okay, well, you and GM have a lot in common. All right, real quick here. We're going to have a classification talk. Andrew. Classification talk. You don't need a mic. Stand up. Come on, shout it out. Tell us what your classification is.
Hello. This is more of an update because I did one a few years back, but Jeff assured me that I needed to give all you Rotarians an up-to-date information on what's up with me. So I'm Andrew Rummerdahl. My classification is commercial real estate appraisal, and the company I work for is Reliant LLC. It used to be known as Integrated Realty Resources. It just recently changed our name. Basically, as a commercial appraiser, I provide a professional, independent opinion of value for all real estate except for 1 to 4 family residential properties, so anything but a house. Basically, we do work for banks as our core work. If anyone goes in to get financing from a bank, we're going to have to come in and do an appraisal, or someone in town is going to have to do an appraisal of the property to make sure they're secure on what they loan to you. Other than that, we do some work for government corporations looking for tax appeal, reduce their assessed value, litigation, all sorts of stuff, feasibility studies, and market studies for different segments.
We wanted to know about you.
No, it's a classification. We don't want to know about him.
I can tell you about me. On a personal level,
go ahead.
My family and my beautiful wife, Carmen, who some of you have met, we've been married 2.5 years now. And family, I wrote down, coming soon. We're expecting our first baby girl in about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So other than that, a couple of dogs, a house, like to fish, like to play golf, like to ski. And I joined Rotary in 2005, and Jerry Winchester was my sponsor.
Great. Thank
That's
you, Andrew.
That's about it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Give him a big hand for being Andrew Rummerdahl. Now I'm going to introduce our head table. A lot of Rotarians up here today. My far right, one of our speakers, Linda J. Jackson. On my second to my far right, Mary Rolfing. On my far left, Cleo Burgett, Kathleen Madden, and then one of our guest speakers we had earlier this year, Jason Hodges, the executive director of the Anchorage Concert Association. So please give a round warm to our head table. Thank you. Okay, we have kind of a compressed program today. We have to work really fast. So, Diane, it's time for Happy Dollars and introducing of guests. So, real quick, people.
Yes.
And say yes now. Hold your hands up. Start waving them. Diane's got to move quick.
You bet.
President Jeff, Sarnett Arms, Diane, have a couple of happy bucks. My guest today is my daughter, Talise. She's a sophomore at UAA. She's a biology major.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sergeant Arms. President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, I'd like to introduce Kathleen Madden's guest today, Suzanne Yak, with the Alaska Community Foundation.
Awesome, Suzanne. Enjoy our program.
Yes. President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, I'd like to introduce my mother, full-time grandmother, Corinne Reese.
All right. How nice you could join us.
I have a happy buck, President Jeff, fellow Rotarian, Sergeant Arm Diane. Happy dollar to introduce my wife, Jessica, came as a guest today.
Welcome, Jessica.
Matt, I believe your wife is worth more than $1. I'm just guessing. Okay, five. She's worth at least $5.
Hi, I'm Jimmy. I have one happy buck because today and yesterday and tomorrow I'm having the state test, or I don't remember the name, but I think I'm doing pretty good, so I'm happy for that. And I'm happy because today I had a real interesting chat with Woody at the car.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy.
Good luck on those tests, Jimmy. Yes. Sally.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, I'm Sally Archer, and I'm here to remind you of our Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is occurring on Saturday evening, April 18th, and so that you may become inspired to attend for anyone who answers this next question at the chocolate bar. Think of your most favorite potluck and tell me what your favorite entree was.
It was one that I made this lady promise to teach my children how to make before she dies.
Okay, the next question is, what was your most favorite dinner conversation?
had a dinner one night when one of the guests at the dinner started asking all kinds of very interesting questions. So that was the most interesting conversation we had. And modesty prohibits me from delineating further.
And your most favorite appetizer at a potluck, what was that? What? Chocolate bar.
It was wine, wasn't it, Dave?
Okay.
Ceviche. That's seafood marinated in lime juice with some other spices.
Okay, so that's just a little bit of inspiration for guests who's coming to dinner. There are sign-up sheets on each table if you would like to be a guest.
And Bill?
President Jeff and fellow Rotarians, my name is Bill Urey. Hey, I just received a letter the other day from one of our former exchange students, Eric Thompson. And Rotary does make a big difference, I think, in our youth, and we do create future leaders. Eric just graduated from West Point Academy and is now a lieutenant. And some of you may remember his first trip to this Rotary Club when I introduced him to the club when his swim team had decided all to get Mohawks before their big race. So anyway, Eric has graduated, and he was our outbound student to Switzerland approximately 6 years ago.
Thanks, Bill.
We have another guest. He slipped in late. Tom Hansen, Youth Ministry International. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to Anchorage. And yes, Dave.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, Dave Kester here. Just wanted to remind you that this Saturday is our next mobile food pantry distribution, and I have sign-up sheets on the table. They look a lot like the guest who's coming to dinner, but this one has a picture of the mobile food pantry distribution. So anyway, want to invite everyone to come out Saturday, 1:30 at the Fairview Rec Center, and guaranteed it'll be above freezing on Saturday, okay?
Shorts, Dave?
Shorts? Shorts weather.
Shorts weather.
Shorts weather on Saturday, so see you there.
President Jeff, fellow Rotarians, I'm Greg Branch. I just returned from 3 months in Southeast Asia. Got a chance to meet my mother-in-law in Vietnam, and had wonderful travels. And those of you interested in seeing pictures and hearing more about it, see me. A little update on another exchange student from the club. My son Dale is now currently teaching English in Vietnam and learning Vietnam. So that makes language number, I think, 7.
Great. Congratulations, Greg. Anyone else?
Yep, if you're happy. Oh. Hi, I'm Rochelle Eblin. Good afternoon, President Jeff and fellow Rotarians. I just wanted to say I was really lucky this morning. I actually made an ARI meeting. It'll be my second one in 2 years, which isn't anything to brag about. But I wanted to give my happy dollar for Kathleen Madden, our past president. She actually made it very fun and interesting. And I think for everybody there, we actually, for those of you, and I won't out any of you, that don't open up your Rotarian magazines, you should. She made it really interesting to want to take them out and look at them without feeling you have to read it cover to cover. So thank you. Alright. If you're happy and you know it, jump up quick if you're willing to pay and tell us. Okay, I think we've
all right, no five button. Kathleen and Jason are going to do that from the podium right here.
Okay. Do I have to go into Boston mode and talk really fast? Okay. I'm wearing my hat as a board member of the Anchorage Concert Association right now, and I'm going to have Jason talk to you a little bit about some things that are upcoming. But on April 24th, a Friday night, is Spamalot, and we're doing a wonderful gala. There's going to be a Cornish game hen meal at the Egan Center. Students from West High are going to do some little skits from Monty Python. Then we'll go over to the theater, see the show, champagne intermission, and it'll be a wonderful evening. It'll be great to put a Rotary table together. So if anybody wants to go, see me or Jason. And I'm going to turn it over to Jason, Executive Director of the Anchorage Concert Association. Talk fast.
Well, thank you. Spamalot is opening on Tuesday, a week from yesterday. Has anybody seen Spamalot? There are a few people. Is it good? Should everybody in Anchorage go and see it? We would love for that to happen. It's a wonderful musical, won a Tony Award. John O'Hurley, who many of you have seen on television, GCI commercials, Seinfeld, is going to be starring as King Arthur. It should be a lot of fun. It starts Tuesday. And, of course, there is the gala, which we'd love to see you attend. I will be auctioning off a 7-course dinner for 8, not cooked by me because I'm not a chef, but I know somebody who is. And so that'll be one of the auction items that you can get a hold of if you like listening to me talk. Just imagine how good I can cook. So hope to see some of you there. We do have a gift for you, though, for those of you who are dying to see the show but just aren't sure you can make it. We have somewhere out there a dot for tickets. So look under your... I see people going for the saucers. Yeah, look under your saucer to see if you have a dot. And if you do, I have a pair of tickets for Tuesday opening nights. Anyone? Anyone? Is that a... Oh, it's not a dot. Okay, it's a ticket. Well, that'll work. We'll go with you then. So here's a pair of tickets, a voucher for Tuesday night. We hope to see many more of you there. We also have a great season coming up next season. If you'd like to get tickets to Lion King currently, you can do that by getting a subscription to an Anchorage Concert Association Broadway event, Chicago and Wizard of Oz and Lion King next year. Hope to see some of you at the concerts.
Thank you, Jason. And now for our program. Kathleen Madden is going to introduce our program for us today, who are a couple of fellow Rotarians.
This really wasn't planned this way. I'm going to be very short. We have two speakers today speaking about Nepal. Mary Rolfing, our past president, and as we all say, it's all about Mary, so I don't really have to say any more. But for those of you that don't know Mary, she is our past president. She's been a Rotary for a long time, and she's a great gal. And then Linda J. Jackson is actually an honorary member of our club. She's been to Nepal numerous times, and she says for everyone to check out the Helping Hands website. She'll tell you a little bit about that. So I'm going to let them speak. So who's going first? Mary. It's all about Mary.
Short and sweet, as usual. Just want to let you know this was my first trip to Nepal, to a third world country, and it's just an experience I'll never forget. And I will tell you, I know some of you have been to third world countries, and you've talked about the people and the traffic. And the first 2 days I was in Kathmandu, I literally held on to Jay, and I cried. It was that overwhelming. There are 4 million people just in Kathmandu. There's 25 million just in Nepal, so you can imagine it. It's the size of Arkansas. The first 5 days I stayed at the Kathmandu guest house, and, you know, it was a little tough. We didn't have electricity 4 hours a day, and we didn't know when that was going to happen. They sure tried, but it was just kind of tough to schedule it. But you couldn't just take a shower, take a bath, wash your hair. You really had to, I suffered. That's pretty sad. But it was called load shedding, and I'm sure Jay will talk more about that. You know, I couldn't read at night. I couldn't warm my room. It was tough. The next 5 days, I stayed with my host family, the Tapas. It was Druba, Dixa, and Tuna. Very different names. But anyway, it was absolutely wonderful. They treated me like a queen. I had my own car. I had my own maid. Polished my shoes. Oh, my. It was wonderful. Let's see. It just was a real joy to be there. And I wanted to experience a Nepali family. And, you know, they were a lot like us, but they do eat with their hands. And that was an experience. And I tried not to stare. Let's see. Jay will talk more about the Rotary clubs and the clinics that we went to, and just the dedication of these people, and just I can't believe that they're even there working. These are doctors that could make six figures in the United States, but they're there with their heart. And I'll tell you, it's a something to behold. Let's see. You know, I listen to these presentations over and over again about poverty and unsafe drinking. I experienced it firsthand. Going over there, I realized that I went over as a member of a Rotary, but I came back as a Rotarian. And when I used to listen to Sue Foley speak about India and so on, a few others, Yeah, it grabbed me. And I'll tell you, you go over there and you see what your money is doing. What really grabbed me, I walked into an eye clinic. We had raised money for funds for equipment for cataract surgery, and you had all these people lined up with eye patches. And, you know, I couldn't speak for a long time. I knew together with you what happens when you give your money. It was tremendous. And that's what I mean about I am now a Rotarian. We are going back there again next April, and I would like to see and talk with those that might be interested. Of course, I think after Jay's presentation, you'll want to. But it's April of next year that we plan to go. It's the district conference, so it's a year that you have time to think about it. And how about we listen to Jay Jackson next? So, Jay Jackson.
Okay, namaste. Namaste. I am very happy to be here today, and I am grateful every day to be an honorary Rotarian, and especially a member of this group, because Anchorage East Rotarians always look on the sunny side of life. That's for sure. I've been going to Nepal for 10 years. As some of you know, Kathleen asked how I got started. So those of you that don't know, I won't talk this fast the whole time, but I can do this in about two sentences and catch you up. I was a high school teacher in Anchorage for 21 years. The first year I taught at Bartlett High School, I had a student who told me he'd become a doctor and donate his time in developing countries and take me with him as his documentary photographer. He became an eye surgeon 20 years later. At Christmas, he called me up and said, order your film, send me the bill. I'm taking you to Nepal for 3 weeks. In that three-week period, we were in five eye hospitals. I fell in love with the Nepali people, and that's how it started. I think we need a little bit of a scene setter as far as Nepal goes. Nepal ranks among the world's poorest countries with a per capita income of around $322. It was an isolated agrarian society until the mid-20th century. Nepal entered the modern era in 1951 without schools, hospitals, roads, telecommunications, electric power, industry, or even a civil service. So in the last 50 years or so, I think they've come a long way. Even having come a long way, they have a diverse population. There's over 80 languages that are spoken in Nepal. At the time that it entered the modern world and became open in the 1950s, they didn't have any schools. They don't have books. There are still areas that don't have schools. The schools they have often only go to the third grade, and girls often only go to the third grade. They are disaster-prone with floods and earthquakes. Kathmandu is overdue by 60 years for their next big one. So they do have an awful lot of challenges. One of the first things I learned in a developing country is you may be speaking the same language, English is required in Nepal, but you're not necessarily communicating. For example, take the word poverty, and when you read that 42% live below the poverty line, when we hear that, we think of dollars. If you don't have dollars, that isn't how poverty is measured. In Nepal, if you have 1,500 calories to eat a day, you're not poor. They don't have to be nutritional calories. You may not have shoes and your kids might not have a school to go to, but if you have 1,500 calories to eat a day, you're not poor. I apologize for the quality of this photo. This is a grab shot out of a car window, but this shows you the living conditions as the Maoist revolution continued. People just sort of poured into Kathmandu because they considered that the safest place. Most of them just have a little tarp for shelter and no means to bathe or get fresh water or food or cook or anything. It's a pretty dismal situation. The first Rotary Club that Mary and I visited was the Rotary Club of Kathmandu Midtown, and we did get a little article about us in their Breakfast Chatter, which is their little newspaper, and we learned what they were doing. They have projects in medicine education that were of interest to us. And then the next week, they had pictures of us, and they scanned the flag that we had taken to them, which they found really interesting with the little gold panner. A member of that club is Isabella Kodka, who's on the left there, and her husband, Narayan Kodka, is a current member of Parliament. I've known them for a number of years, and they approached us with a project for the Mushar people. 40% of the population lives in southern Nepal, and that's the plains area. It's also very tropical. There are 7 geographical areas in Nepal, ranging from the tropics to the Arctic, and there are many marginalized, meaning low caste groups in the Terai area. The Mushar are one of them. Their name literally means people who eat mice or rats, because they never had land, they didn't have homes, they aren't in one place long enough to grow a garden or anything, so that was one food source that was available to them. They are literally trapped in the circle of poverty. I'm sure that you know that studies show that between poverty, education, and health, if you improve any one of those areas for people, the other two automatically improve. There are 3 villages in the south of Mushar people, and they were asked, would you like a clinic, a school, or toilets? The women get up very early in the morning. It's a flat area. There's not much privacy, and they walk a long distance to where there's some shrubs and a few trees to relieve themselves so they can have privacy. They don't drink water all day because they're afraid they'll have to go again, and at night when it's dark, they make the same trek. Obviously, living in a tropical area, this is not healthy for them, so they requested community toilets. For $1,000 per village, we can put in community toilets for men and women. They are the squat variety. This is how Nepalis use a restroom. There's a septic tank, and you'll see there's a little pitcher of water and a green pitcher there to the lower left, and after they go, then that's how it is flushed. So Helping Hand has been asked, could we raise $3,000 so these 3 villages could have community toilets, which will help improve the health of the women. Then we went to the Rotary Club of Buddha Nilkanta, and the gentleman in the upper right-hand one, Sunil Sakya, he happens to own this hotel and is a member of this Rotary Club, and he owns the Kathmandu Guest House where we stayed. There was absolutely nothing here. He wanted it to be like a park. He's planted every tree, every flower, everything. The upper left-hand corner shows the conference hall that he has built. And one time he saw a checkerboard and chess set in a garden, and so he had one of his workers build out of wrought iron. If you could see them closer, that's an actual chess set. So you can play chess, and they have a nice swimming pool there. This is the Rotary Club of Buddha Nilkanta. This is Dr. Madan Upadhyay. He is the only Nepali that has ever been a regional director of the World Health Organization. He is an ophthalmologist I've known for a number of years. And he has a Rotary project where he's trying to build a second children's hospital in Nepal. Another gentleman that we got to know is this gentleman, who has invited any of you that would like to come and give at least a 1-hour lecture at the college that he is at on your profession. That's one way that Nepali students learn how business is done in other areas. And he and I will be collaborating on a teacher training program. If you want to be a teacher grades 1 through 10, when you get out of the 10th grade, you just show up at a school and you get to be a teacher. So he's very interested in teacher training, as am I. Dr. O.K. Mala is also an ophthalmologist and a member of Kathmandu Rotary Club of Kathmandu, which is the oldest one. It's 50 years old, and he's the assistant district governor, and that's why he was at this particular meeting. Afterwards, we were invited to Sunil's house to discuss a few things, and this is Dr. Durga Pokhrel, who invited us to her home afterwards. She's very interested in education. This is the president of that particular Rotary Club, and this young gal was invited to meet with us because she's working on restoring historical sites. And I knew a a Nepali gentleman that has historic photographs, and so I've connected them so that she can see what some of these buildings look like in the early 1900s and late 1800s. Those of you that have been to developing countries know that networking is the name of the game. On the way to Durga's house, we stopped at the Temple of the Sleeping Vishnu, where Mary got a blessing, and this is Durga's home right here that we went to. This is a family friend, a husband and his two daughters that had lunch with us that Mary bonded with the two girls. Then we also visited the National Kidney Center, Helping Hand for Nepal, partners with the Rotary Club of Kathmandu Metro to help women who would not otherwise be able to afford dialysis to get their dialysis there. This is Santosh Gaiwale. I worked with him at USAID in Nepal, and he volunteers every Sunday at the Kidney Center, and he's a member of Rotary, and Mr. Subedi is a member of the Rotary Club of Kathmandu, and he volunteers 3 hours a day every single day of the week at the Kidney Center. The Kidney Center is 11 years old. They used to do 700 treatments in a year. Now they do 1,900 a month. You can imagine with only having 4 hours a day of electricity what a problem this is. They really need a generator now, and they also have only one autoclave. And so if that autoclave goes down, they're in a world of hurt. So they're also requesting a backup autoclave. This is Gongalal National Heart Center, which is the only heart hospital in Nepal. This is the one the echocardiogram is going for. They do cardiac camps, and they didn't have a portable echocardiogram for diagnosis. This is a new building that they have built, and this project was an international project between Anchorage East, the Rotary Club of Canterbury, and Helping Hand for Nepal. It also included a printer. The new building is on the left. That's the green one, and the original buildings are the pink ones, and it was a shoe factory. And Dr. Bhagwan Kerala literally remodeled it from a shoe factory to a world-class cardiac center. This is Mary being taken around on a tour with one of the doctors and Bhagwan's assistant, and they even have some private rooms now. This is as plush as it gets for people that can afford to pay that. I'm particularly touched by the children that they have in this heart hospital. They still have rheumatic fever in that country, so there are children with, besides heart problems, they are born with. A congenital heart surgery can be taken care of in Nepal for $1,500, but if you only earn $200 a year, it's pretty difficult. That's one of the reasons Helping Hand has started a medical emergency endowment. And the rooms are pretty much like the one on the upper left. There's just one bed after another in a large room. There's no chair for a guest to sit on. There's no TV, no radio, no anything. That's why we started a pediatric playroom, and Gateway Rotary has just sent over 200 Beanie Babies. What we do is we supply the playroom with Beanie Babies, and when the patient leaves, they get to take their favorite one home, and for most of them, it's the only toy they've ever owned. This is a very typical hat that Nepali children wear. I don't know why. I think it looks really sweet. Then we had a gifting ceremony for the echocardiogram. This is Dr. Bhagwan Kerala, who is Nepal's only formally trained heart surgeon. This is Dr. Sandeep Shah, who is the president of the Rotary Club of Kanthapur. And, of course, you know who this animated lady is. After the gifting ceremony, we had a little tea. And what I discovered was really nice about it. They had all the staff there, but there were a lot of people who had heard of each other, but they didn't know each other, so they got to meet. Also, Mary and her husband donated this hard case on wheels for the echocardiogram to be kept in and when they travel around with it, so that's really beneficial to them. They were happy to get that. This is a member of that Rotary Club. His name is Prabal Rana. He was the former Nepali ambassador to the UK. He was also the president 10 years ago when I first started working with the Rotary Club of Canterbury, and this is Anin Rajmandari, and he is the president-elect of that club. And this is Dr. Shashank Kerala, who is an ophthalmologist and is on our board of directors, as is Dr. Bhagwan Kerala. Oops, sorry. After the ceremony, then Prabhu invited us to his house for lunch, so all the Rotarians went. They are a very sociable group. You would just love this group of people when they marry. Say yes. Yes. We also got two write-ups in the newspaper while we were there. The one on the left is in an English language newspaper. The one on the right is in a, obviously, a Nepali language paper about the echocardiogram and printer being donated by Rotary. And these are the two members of the Helsingham Board of Directors that are in Nepal, Dr. Bhagwan Kurla, the heart surgeon on the left, and Dr. Shashank Kurla, who was the head of the BP Kurla Center for Ophthalmic Studies when you did the two matching grants through there. He was the executive director at that time, and he's a newly elected member of parliament. And this is your echocardiogram being used in the hospital with one of the cardiologists using it and one of the patients. And so from everybody at Gangalal, we certainly thank you. Two other members of the Midtown group are Ragini, who is a well-known artist, and from the European Union, a diplomat, Dr. Spox. And she had an art opening at Siddhartha Gallery, which is owned by Sangeeta Thapa. Her father-in-law is a former prime minister, and Sangeeta always puts me in touch with people. This lady was there, and she works with children with disabilities, and so she and Mary and I talked, and we hope to be able to help her in some way, especially children with Down syndrome. This is the Rotary Club of Kathmandu Metro. They're our partner with the Kidney Center, and I've told you that Santosh volunteers every week, and in fact, that's how I first learned about it when I worked at USAID, and he's in charge of all the computers for the embassy and USAID. Another member of that Rotary Club is Ambika Shrestha, and this is her daughter Sangeeta. And their family has a hotel and restaurant called Dwarakas, and they are trying to save all of the historical wood carvings, which the Nawars are the people that lived in the Kathmandu Valley. So that's what they have for their windows and their doors, and they're just beautiful. It is a 5-star hotel, has beautiful gardens and a swimming pool. Her family has started a school in the south, and Edith Hari in the district of Chitwan. They have 250 students, grade 1 through 9. They hope to expand it up to 12. As I said, English is a required subject, and they do welcome native English speakers to come and go to the school and volunteer for however long you can to work with the Nepali teacher to help with English. We also did some cultural things. So we took Mary to Swayambhunath, which is called the Monkey Temple, and there's a zillion monkeys up there. We also went to Bodha, which is a stupa. Stupa is the name for temple. And you will always see Tibetans there. The little boys in the red outfits are the student monks. And within each one of these niches, there are prayer wheels, and they turn them. You can see that gentleman doing it as they go around, and that sends a prayer up to the gods. Then we visited Bonapa in the Kaveri district because they have started an eye hospital there. They do a weekly outreach at that clinic, and Helping Hand has given them a slit lamp previously. So we went to visit there and to show Mary what they had. This is very common. They don't have running water, but they will have a community water spigot, and the women will go there to wash their dishes, wash their clothes. It's a very communal place. On our tour, we found we discovered they were restoring one of the oldest temples in Nepal, and it's in Bonapa, and they're doing everything in the old way. When they do scaffolding, it's all of this bamboo wood, and that's how they do the scaffolding. This is getting the metal ready to gold plate the items that actually go on the temple itself. And on the left-hand corner, that's what the temple will look like restored. And they do all the wood carving with the old tools and the old way and restore the wood, or if they have to, make a new piece. It was really interesting. When we went to this eye hospital in Bonnepaw, one of the ways they greet you is with a prayer scarf, and then marigolds are considered a religious flower, and they make all these leis out of them. So they give you a number of leis out of marigolds and these prayer scarves. This is my son, Dr. Segun Josie, my Nepali son, and that's the slit lamp that Helping Hand donated. Their little room, when you, after you've had your cataract surgery, you can see they just kind of shove the beds in. Now, you may not appreciate this, but what I really praised them for, and they were so pleased, is how clean everything is. Because when you go to lots of hospitals, it just makes you want to drop to your knees and take a bucket of scrub brush and go to work. So I was really impressed with how clean this hospital was. And this is the actual operating room. Segun goes for one full day every other week to do surgeries, cataract surgeries for them. And this is my Nepali son and his family. That's his wife, Sweta, and my grandson, Ayush, who is 10, and my granddaughter, Evita, who is 6 years old. The D.C. Kerala Center for Ophthalmic Studies is where he is head surgeon now, so I've known him about 10 years. And I wanted you to know that on your other two grants, it went for equipment for there and for eye screening for children. And at that eye hospital, they are also a regional training center. And when I went one time, I kind of got after Dr. Kerala, and I said, I noticed there are some foreign students studying here, and you only have 90 ophthalmologists in this country anyway, and you're behind 130,000 cases, and you have these blind people, and it's the biggest social and economic loss to a country, and why aren't you taking only Nepali students? And they're very patient with me. So after I finished running off at the mouth, he said, well, Jay, he said, what you said is very true, but he said the BPK Center is very proud to be a regional training center. And he said, do you know Zaire? And I said, yes, he was one of the residents there. He said, well, he's from Maldives. And when he graduates and goes home, he will be the first ophthalmologist ever in Maldives. And he said, you've met Sun? And I said, yes. He said, well, when Sun and another gentleman that they had just taken in, when they go home to Cambodia, they will be the first ophthalmologist, those two, for the whole country of Cambodia. So he said, Nepal is very proud that we can be a regional training center. So even though, from my perspective, they have very little and they need help, they're very proud that they can help other countries in that area. I thought that was amazing. I went back a second time. It turned out the piece of ophthalmic equipment I had taken over this time, I didn't know where it was going to go. They needed it at Bonnepaw, and Dr. Rob Fleckenstein in Eagle River is a former student of mine. He's on my board of directors, and that's where I get, he's an optometrist, that's where I get all my ophthalmic equipment. So I thought we were making a quick trip, but it wasn't. In Nawari culture, when you have a gift-giving ceremony, you want five maidens there. That brings good luck. So they had these five little girls from the local elementary school, and they dressed in the local outfits, and they had each practiced one or two sentences in English to say to me. And then you can see that they have the prayer scarves and the marigold lays for me. And then this is the ophthalmic equipment that we gave, and they had the press there and the television and the writers and everything. And I had so many lays on me that when we went outside afterwards, I didn't know this, but goats really like marigolds. There was a big ram that was just attacking me. I had to take one of those off and feed it to him so he wouldn't knock me down. This is the Rotary Club of Canterbury that I've worked with the most, that Mary and I went to, and you can see them exchanging the flags. And then afterwards, they took us out to dinner. I had a social hour at one of the outdoor restaurants that one of the owners, one of the members owned. Now, Nepal has worked very hard to become their own Rotary district. They were part of the district with India, and they had previously only ever had one Nepali, and that's Tamas right there, that was the district governor. All the rest of them are Indians, and that's fine, but Nepal has long wanted their own district, and finally this past year, July of 2008, they had to have a certain number of clubs and a certain number of members to achieve that. And so I don't know if they're the newest district, but they're certainly a new one. one, and they've just this April, at the beginning of April, had their first district conference. They are Nepal District 3292, and their second district conference will be in April next year. Their website is nepalrotary.org, and they would like to invite all of you to come to their district meeting. I think it would be quite an experience. I think you would see hospitality on a level you haven't seen, and then you could do some touring and be indoctrinated on Nepali schools and hospitals that need help. This is my good friend Perna and his brother, Ratnaman Sakya, is going to be the district governor-elect for next time. So I think a good time and education could be had by all, she said, planting that little seed. I took this off their website. This is what they have up for when they became their own district. I'm sure you recognize this gentleman. And this gentleman at the time was the prime minister. His name is G.P. Kerala. It's really quite an interesting family. There were four brothers in that family. He's the last surviving member. He's in his 80s. At the time that this picture was taken, he was the prime minister. Three of those four brothers were prime ministers of Nepal. And then this is Tamas, the Nepali and the Rotary Club of Kanchapur I was telling you about, that is a former district governor. So I think it could be really interesting. We also visited this group that meets at the teaching hospital called the Sewing Club. And it was just a bunch of women that got together 50 years ago because they had no bandages or surgical gowns for the hospitals. And the women literally sewed by hand the bandages and the surgical gowns for the hospitals. Now they collect clothing and they cut it down and they make clothing for the pediatric patients. They make blankets and that kind of thing. When expats leave, if they happen to donate a higher-end item like a beautiful scarf or something, then they have what we would call a garage sale once a year to raise money. But they get together every week and they sew for the hospitals. And as I said, a big majority of what they do are clothing for the pediatric patients. So that was an interesting group to visit. We also drove up to Nagercoil, and Mary got the nickname Magic Mary. Time I would tell her, all the way up to Nagercoil, we were going midday, one of the Rotarians had loaned us a car and driver, which is really nice. I said, now Mary, we're doing this so you can see the countryside and you can see what rural Nepal looks like. But I said, if you want to see the mountains, you have to get up at 3 in the morning and be there for sunrise, because in the middle of the day, the mountains will never be out. Now Mary, I've been there many times, and sometimes even at sunrise, I've never seen these mountains, and you will certainly never see them in the middle of the day. Well, at noon the day we went, here are the mountains. So, I mean, everything was out for Mary. So I guess, Kathleen, you're right. It is all about Mary. I didn't know that. There's a beautiful hotel up there called Club Himalaya, and it's run by Sunil Sakya's first cousin, who is Vikas Sakya. And if it sounds like one family tends to do things, that's because in Nepal, and it's still this way, different castes had certain jobs. If somebody's last name is Chitrakar, that's the artist caste. And so one of their famous painting artists is D.B. Chitrakar. We are working on a preservation project of some historic photographs that were taken by a grandfather, father, and son from 1870 on. Their last name is Chitrakar. The leading pop female singer, her name is Nalina Chitrakar. And so Sakya's did a lot in hospitalities and hotels, so you will tend to find the same name associated with different businesses. On the way back, we stopped at Bhaktapur, which is a medieval town, and a lot of restoration has happened there, so that you can see a lot of the temples and everything really are quite beautiful. And German and Austrian NGOs have done a lot of that. This young gentleman fell in love with Magic Mary and followed her all over town, and he is a student at this particular place that produces these Tonkas, which is usually a Buddhist, but not always, a type of temple drawing religious art. And he's learning how to make Tonkas. And on this particular Tonka, he had been allowed to do the background for the scene, and then a master would do the rest of it. And he wanted Mary to see where he went to school and what he had produced. Anin Raj Mandari, who is the president-elect for the Rotary Club of Canterbury. He and his wife own and run a pashmina factory. And pashmina is the finest form of cashmere that there is. It comes from the undergrowth of a goat that lives at 14,000 feet or higher. And that undergrowth is the one-sixth the width of a human hair. The best pashminas are 80% pashmina and 20% silk, and that silk gives it strength and luster. But they took us to their showroom and the variety of things they're making, not just shawls, but sweaters and all kinds of wraps and things, was amazing. And then we went to the factory, and of course only having 4 hours of electricity a day is a big problem, because they have little bare light bulbs in there for the weavers and spinners and so on to work by. Most of these places have bought generators, but then you know what happened. Now there's a shortage on diesel because everybody bought generators. But they're also doing patterns and so on. I thought this was a particularly lovely pattern they were doing. And then everything is very labor intensive and done by hand. It's really interesting to see this done. I wish Mary had been there. This is the one, Mary, I wish I said you had seen. I went to the Rotary Club of Kathmandu West, and Dr. Pont was a member there. I started writing to him because he works at the Infectious Disease Hospital, and he was telling me about their needs and so on. And when I got there, this is more what a hospital looks like. They're pretty dirty and dingy, and most things don't work. This is their x-ray machine, which doesn't work. This is their very old ultrasound, which doesn't work. And these are all the beds that are sprung and don't work. And this is their entire diagnostic lab. So when they're trying to diagnose AIDS or tuberculosis or anything, it's a real challenge. Most of the time it has to be sent out to another hospital, which takes precious time, which they often don't have, and of course is more expensive. In the rooms, the room will have four beds. They're just crowded in together, and there's just a huge opening onto the hallway. There's no place for a guest to sit. It's a very simple bed with just a stand by the bed. And what I have learned finally to read, and maybe this will help you, this gentleman I knew immediately was from the Terai. The Terai borders with India. It's a very porous border. They can come and go. And you can tell by his features and his coloring he's Indian, whereas this gentleman is Tibetan. He has a flatter face. This gentleman looks more like a Nepali, although there are many ethnic groups in Nepal, and he's giving us a very sweet namaste hello. And this is Dr. Pont in his office. So I don't know how much we can do for this particular place. All of these gentlemen are in the tuberculosis ward. What they really have is AIDS, but because that is such a stigma, they don't like to have that on their records. I mean, they do have tuberculosis, but the reason they have tuberculosis is because they're AIDS patients. So Nepal is just starting to deal with that and educate about it, and I'm sure you can understand in a country like that that's just learning about things that, you know, nobody wants to say they have, thank you, that they have AIDS. This is a student that we support from the Palpa district. He's a Dalit. This is the Rotary Club of Pokhara. There's a theme here. Sundar Guru oversees our scholarship. Most of what we do, it is the Rotary Clubs that do our oversight for us. This is the SOS Tibetan Children's Village, and this is my new daughter that I sponsor. The other two are sponsored by people in Anchorage. We also work very closely with the Heifer Project in Nepal and do scholarships through them and gifting of animals. We've just had a request for 320 sets of encyclopedias that will go all over Nepal through Radha Bangala School, which is our partner. So if you know anybody trying to get rid of that, let me know. This is the Kathmandu guest house where we stayed, and this is Dhruva Tapa and his wife Tuna and his daughter Dixa, where Mary stayed. And these are the three clubs that worked together. And then I don't know about friends with benefits, but I know about freebies with benefits. HHN is a Yahoo-approved charity, and on your tables there's a little thing about GoodSearch.com. If you do your searches through that and designate us as your charity, we get money donated to us. If you shop through GoodShop, whether it's for books or whatever, they track your sales, and a percent of your sale is donated to us. Also, Nepal has 350,000 tons that it needs. It's a food shortage this year. If you go to freerice.com, you can work on your vocabulary. Every correct answer gives free rice to people in developing countries. That's sponsored by the UN, and I understand we're getting Bhutanese refugees. One-sixth of the population of Bhutan has been kicked out for ethnic cleansing. 100,000 of them have been in Nepal for 16 years. And so I understand some of these refugees are coming here. This would be a site where you could learn more about that. Thank you very much.
Linda J. Jackson, thank you so much for exemplifying service above self. And Mary, thank you for going along with her. It's quite an eye-opening, wasn't it? Yes. Linda J., for speaking for us today and giving us our program. We have what every Rotarian needs. It's another pin. See? And for Mary, we have the four-way test coin for you. So thank you both very much. And thank you for representing Anchorage East so well. All right. Dave Herndon. How many members remember Dave Herndon? Please raise your hand. Dave passed away last week at an Anchorage hospital. I'm not even sure what the cause was. We haven't seen Dave around the club for quite a while. He was, wasn't quite as mobile as he used to be. Craig, are you here? What's up? Do you know what he did pass away from?
I do not.
I do not.
I do too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, another loss of a member. It's very sad. District conference coming up in May. Please register if you haven't already. Everyone today should have gotten a pink sheet, and I'm sure you all read them. What it basically said was, not next week, April 22nd, 100% attendance. So if you can't make that April 22nd meeting here at the club, please do a makeup prior and let Janine know so that we have it down so that we can do one day of the year, do 100% attendance at the club. Hillside Club, by the way, is now meeting at the Peanut Farm, 7 a.m. on Thursdays. The Downtown Club is having their foundation fundraiser this Friday night at the Sheraton. If anyone would like to show up for that, they would appreciate it. And Diane Louise, let's have a drawing.
Feel unlucky? last three numbers, 092.
Jimmy, is that you?
092. Okay.
Come on up here, Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy, we need an education in song from your native tongue. Okay? It's a B.
Letter B. English or Spanish, Jimmy?
Yeah, either one. It could be Pig Latin.
Okay. Sing it into the mic.
All right.
Sing happy birthday, Jimmy.
Okay, don't laugh at me, but that's the only part of the song I know. Because of you, and I don't know what's the next.
I love that.
Beautiful. Another winner. Thank you all for coming, and remember, the only thing the world needs to be a better place is more Rotarians. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, April, are you interested?
Oh. There's a pop shop.
Oh, thank you.
And isn't that great? I think they feel so encouraged to have people come and share what we do.
Yeah.
And they're just
trying. I'd love to get 10 of us, but I don't know.
Wonderful experience.
So I'm sorry to bring all my inventory of
beanie babies.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And next
wonderful.
Day,
okay.
That's right.
Okay. That would be great.